Did a wedding on the 1st of January, and another wedding on the 4th of January, and a baptism on the 5th of January, and planted the little home group, Living Light Gospel Church in Brisbane. Now, it may seem insignificant to the eyes of man, it may seem insignificant to you, but to God, it is a start of it's a humble beginning of something big. I know that because when I was there, I sensed the people. There's remnant of people that are not going to church. And these are the people that we focus on. There's a saying that God has too many adopted sons and daughters. There's too many adopted people in church. You know what I mean by that? Nobody is clearly walking as a son and a daughter of God. There's so many adopted people in church. And so the problem is that we must raise sons and daughters of God in the church. Because you are here to inherit His kingdom. That's really what it is. And it sends in my spirit and in my heart that God led us to set up a little fellowship at the house. And it's most of the people that are from here that have left Cairns to go down to Brisbane and settle in Brisbane. And they are not going to church anymore, because they don't fit into the church. I believe that your church has become a real franchise. You drink bad coffee in Starbucks in Cairns, you can drink bad coffee and same coffee in Starbucks in Europe. Starbucks is Starbucks. Church is not supposed to be a franchise. We don't franchise church. You have to create something that God really wants in His heart, that is unique to God. And that is the reason why we do church. Otherwise, we'll just pack it up and just join another franchise church. Amen? Yeah. And I don't want that. I have a mandate. God has given me a mandate to be a mouthpiece for Him. And that's really what I'm going to be doing. And for you that comes to this church, you know that we speak straight and we talk straight. We call this church Time Lord Talk Straight. Talk straight. Because when you talk straight, it changes and transforms people. My prayer is always the same. God, You speak to the people. I can't change them. You change them. You are the one that can change and transform people. And my prayer is always simple. God, speak to Your people. And He has been doing that. Amen? And I'm excited about that. Well, before I start my message this morning, and my message is just to encourage the church today. Because it's 2020, hallelujah. It's a new year for us. And I knew it means something bigger in God. Amen? I just wanted to ask Paul, and where's Brother Paul? Oh, Paul, yes. Have we got a spare microphone? Oh. I want Paul and also Brother Kevin to testify, because I want you people to know that God still works. Amen. Miracles. Yes.
Good morning, church. I guess I come across people, and I had a gentleman this morning who came through our breakfast ministry, and it was after the ministry, and we're just talking downstairs, and I just wanted to share this one in terms of he was saying that he's a step son for this woman who's in the hospital, and her name's Nola, and apparently three Christians came or were in the hospital yesterday and prayed for Nola. And she's a very, very, very sick woman. And Nola's had a bit of a change in her heart and her life.
Amen.
And she's actually, 15 minutes after they prayed, that she was actually breathing a lot better. She's actually not in very good health, he was saying. Like, we're talking near end of life. Yet, she's going to be water baptized today. She's going to go for water baptism today. And they're making arrangements, and they've got a nurse to be able to take her out to Lake Placid, fresh water over that way, for her to be water baptized. And he was also saying that last night she was able to sit up in a chair, and she was reading a Bible. So our God is the God of breakthroughs. And I think for 2020, let's hope that the Lord will continue to do wonderful miracles and breakthroughs, not only in this church, but other churches around Cairns.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you, Paul. Now I want to ask my brother Kevin. Now Kevin, Kevin is a walking miracle. I can tell you this. This man, when we first started this church, literally crawled up that stairs that you walk up to go and eat at the cafe upstairs. Totally overdosed in drugs and alcohol. He's come a long way. And he's one of our biggest, for me, he's one of my biggest miracles in this church. Because he's the kind of people that we minister to. He's the kind of person that this church look to. People that God people have actually given up for, given up hope for. Society has ridden themselves from them. But this man is such an amazing miracle of God. I said to him, I said, Kev, God is not finished with you yet. Amen. He is not finished with you yet. And I want him to tell his testimony because he's come a long way, a very long way. And when I walked in this morning, I saw the biggest smile. When he rang me up and he told me about his testimony, I wept on the phone. I wept and I praised God for this man. I said, thank you, God. You still work miracles in our lives. And Kevin held on to God like Job held on to God. Job held on to God that's the only thing that he had left. He had three preachers trying to preach him all sorts of doctrines to get him out of where he is. But he said, even though he slays me, I will still praise him. Job cursed the day he was born, but he never cursed God because his wife said, just curse God and die and get over this thing. And Kevin's story reminds me of Job. And he held on to God regardless of what. So, Kev, you tell your story. Hallelujah.
Thanks Pastor. Good morning, church. How are you? Well, I must say it's a real pleasure and a real miracle to be here today. Just to start off for this what's happened just recently, 28th of February last year, I was diagnosed of cirrhosis and cancer of the liver. And in that time, between that time and now, I'd had three operations on my liver to remove cancer, and the last one they removed on the way out in April, they removed it last year. On the way out, they found another cancer. They did a bone scan, what they call a PEP scan, to see if there's any cancer further through my body, whether it's spread or not. And they did another MRI scan and they found a 46 millimeter lesion. 22 millimeters was on the top of my liver and another 26 millimeters was inside the vessel of my liver. So this called for a whole new type of surgery, radiology. The type that they've been using prior, which was really successful, they've only been using for 10 years, and the last two operations, they've only been using the operation for 2 years. So I guess, in a way, like a lot of other people receiving that treatment, I was a bit of a guinea pig. But it was successful. This 48 millimeter lesion sort of shocked me. The fact that it was in the lesion, they couldn't do the normal procedure that they'd been doing. And when I heard the word radiology, I was shocked because radiology can cause a cancer to break apart and move around. It can metastasize and move around your body. Anyway, it was all in God's hands. The whole time I've just been giving it to God and giving it to God and giving it to God. I asked him for healing once. Lord, heal me. Your promise. It's your promise to heal me. If I am to pass, It's because you're calling my soul home and for no other reason. If this is from the enemy, he's not going to kill me because he has no right to kill
Amen.
Me.
Amen.
The only person who has the right to take my soul, and that is the Lord God.
Amen.
And that is back to heaven. And that's the only reason. As Pastor Ben said, I stuck fast. It was hard sitting. I don't know, you would have known. Well, you would have well noticed me sitting on those steps by the door every meeting, head down on the chain, just. Sometimes I was asleep because of drugs they had me on, and other times I was just crying out to God, thank you for your healing. Thank you for your healing. Not asking him for healing anymore, but thanking him
Amen.
For
yes.
his healing. And praise God, and all glory to him. I flew down Monday afternoon. I got off the plane at 3. I had to be at the lodge to register at the Cancer Council lodge where I was staying. And then I had to be back at the hospital, PA hospital, for an MRI scan. And then after that was to come another test, what they call a coaching test. They put you under all the machinery. Make sure you can do all the deep, you got to hold your breath for 20 seconds at a time, all the rest of it. Anyway, I got the MRI done, went back to the Cancer Council place where I was staying, which was a beautiful place, beautiful staff, really caring, wonderful people. I went back there, went to my room, and just laid on my bed and just prayed to God, thank you for your healing, thank you for guiding this doctor's hands and you planning out how this is going to come about. I got a phone call at 11:30 in the morning. Kevin, it's Dr. Howard Lee from PA Hospital. I thought, oh, he wants me there now. He said, I've just gone over the MRI scans and there's nothing there.
Mm.
So from April till the 13th, I'd been living with this 48 millimeter lesion in my liver, and God, somewhere between October and the 13th of this month, just completely removed it from my liver.
Hallelujah.
Completely removed it. I said to him, I said, what was it? How? Because he's got to have some medical explanation. He doesn't, he's a scientist. He's a medical man. He's got to have answers. And he said, I believe because the liver was inflamed at the time, there was a blockage there that looked like a lesion. And I thought, well, you were going to operate on what you thought was a lesion? No, there was a lesion there. There was cancer there. And as I said, God completely took it from my body. And I just praise God so much that I was able to. It sitting on those stairs, and sometimes, I will admit, it was hard to hold on. But God gave me the strength to hold on to him. I released a little bit, he squeezed tighter. I released a little bit, he squeezed tighter and tighter. And the doctors that I have here, my GP, two GPs here, and my doctors here encouraged me through the whole thing. One of my doctors here, my GP, she's a Christian, God bless her. She's just got over a brain tumor cancer. She's been a great encouragement, and the prayers of the people here that I know that have been praying for me, those that I don't know, and I know there's been people praying for me all over the place, all over Australia, that God would heal me. Oh, well, their prayer's been answered. And I'm living proof that God heals.
Amen.
And he sticks to his word. He is a God of truth, a God of love, unconditional love. Unconditional love. The things I did before I became a Christian, I never thought he would even look at me at entering the kingdom of God, you know. But let me tell you, no matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, it does not matter.
Amen.
Because God loves all of us. Amen. Equally with an unconditional love. And he loves you. You haven't given your life to him yet. He loves you still, unconditionally.
Amen.
He's just waiting on you to come here and say, Jesus, I accept you and I want you in my life. That's all he's waiting for.
Amen.
And he's a patient God. He waited 27 years for me. 27 years, that's patience, I tell you. And he's waiting for you guys who haven't been saved yet. You want to keep wasting your time? Keep wasting your time. But he'll be here for you. I know that. He'll be here for you. The day you come to this pulpit and you give your life, he'll take it. He'll change it. And he'll give you a purpose and a plan that you would not believe. And I just want to give all glory,
hallelujah,
all glory and all praise and all thanks and all glory, praise and thanks to my Heavenly Father and my blessed Lord Jesus. Because if it wasn't for him, every drop of blood, the nails in his hands, the thumping of his body going into that ground on the cross that day.
Hallelujah.
And the whipping and every bit of pain and the worst part for both the Father and the Son was that moment of where the Father had to turn away from Jesus. That was the first time in all their time together where there was fatherlessness and sonlessness. Jesus had to do without his Father for that moment where he took all our sin. Because he sinned, never sinned. He took all of our sin.
Amen.
All of our sin. And at that time, he was separated from his Father for that moment. And that must have been so painful. I can't even imagine how painful that was for Jesus and my Heavenly Father for that moment. But he did that for me. He did it for you.
Amen.
And he did it for you guys, who he's waiting for right now. And
amen.
I just give him glory for that.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, brother. Hey, he's ready to preach.
Come on.
Hallelujah. He's preached half of my message already. And that's the message for today. He waited 27 years for Kev. My goodness. He waited 30 years for me, Kevin. 30 years. Finally, I said, God, why didn't you save me when I was 5 or 6 or when I just was born? It would have been all easy and life would be good. But you know what he said? He says, and then you will never have a testimony. And you, my brother, have got a powerful testimony. Kev's an amazing man. You know what he did? He held up a service station with a gun. A bank. That's his testimony. And it's much more to it. And he'll be telling us about it one day.
Yep.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you for your word.
Amen.
We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you breathe upon your word. Your word is everlasting to everlasting. Your word is life and a lamp unto our feet that guides us all throughout our lives. Father, we thank you for 2018 and 2019 has gone. This is a new year. This year is a new year. 2020, Father. We thank you, Lord, for the lives of each and every man, women, and children here today. Father, you called them. They're here for a purpose and they're here for a reason. Lord, I pray that you speak to your people through this word of encouragement today. Encourage us, inspire us. Father, we pray in Jesus' wonderful name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Turn around and shake your neighbor's hand and say, hi, good to see you in church. You look sharp. Tell your neighbor, you wear that cloth. That cloth you're wearing makes, you know, that cloth was just hanging in that closet until you put it on. You make that shirt look really good. Hallelujah. I want to encourage you this morning. I believe that this year is going to be an exciting year. We've started our prayer meetings every 6 o'clock, 6:30 is it, to 8 o'clock, and the faithful ones have been coming. I encourage you, please come and attend those prayer times. It's happening till we stop fasting on the 21st of January. So if you're fasting and continue to fast, that's a wonderful thing. Continue to pray for God's direction, not only for the church, but for yourself and your family. And one of the things that we always talk about in this church is bringing back the rightful place of Christ into the church. The place where he says that we must always be righteous, walking blameless before God. That's, you may probably get tired of hearing this, but I got no other message to preach to you, but to bring the church to the place where Jesus started the church. Amen. I want to bring a word of encouragement to us as a church this morning. The journey we have had for the last 2 years has been an amazing journey for us, especially me and Judith as the pastors of the church. A lot of our prayers have been answered by God, and God has been gracious to us in the last 2 years. And I thank God for his grace and his love and his mercy upon us. And also I thank God for you, all of you that are in this building today. Because my prayer has always been the same, and it's, God, you speak to your people. I just prepare notes and prepare scriptures that you've given me, and I've it's just the letter, but you bring the spirit of the word to the people. You speak to the people. And it's, my prayer hasn't changed. I just always say that, God, I don't know how to lead and run this church except you do. And you speak to us. You bring the words that the vision and the word that you think it's for this church. And not just for this church only, but for the church of Jesus Christ. The church that he started. When he said that, I will build my church and no gates of hell shall prevail against it. That's the church that I want to see as a pastor of a church. I've been a follower of Christ and a follower of pastors, and being in church with pastors and serving with pastors, and I've seen things that has really affected me, and not only affected me but challenged me. And I said, one day I'm going to stand on that pulpit and I'm going to really speak straight about certain things. And I know that some of you probably got a shock on the last message of 2019. About tradition. You know, when I went back and I listened to that message, I got convicted by that message. Totally convicted and passionate about that. That's something that we're going to look at now. We're going to look at traditions and ask questions about traditions. Is it bringing the truth to the people, or is it just another tradition watered down by the world and brought into the church? You know, the physical manifestation of the Word of God is happening because the Word of God is being cleaning up people. I believe that so much. I have done 8 weddings, 4 last year and 4 this year. We did one this Saturday, and it's for Jerry and Helen, Mr. and Mrs. Roberts. They've tied the knot and become husband and wife. Hallelujah. It's not because of anything, but it's because of God's word convicting their hearts. saying that we have to get this right. I always say anybody who wants to be part of this ministry or part of any ministry in the church must, first of all, get things right in their hearts. God is looking for people that are blameless before Him. And we cannot see the manifestation of the power of God if we walk into the church and walk out of the church and serve in the church with sin. And so we must deal with sin as we see it. And I believe that the Word of God has been speaking to the people. Four weddings that we've never, you know, I've never seen so much wedding in the church. And that's because people coming up and say, Pastor, we believe we are living in sin and we need to get it right before God. I said, thank you. Now go and get it right. Hallelujah. I know that the Holy Spirit is convicting people and people are starting to check their own lives. You know, marriage is one of the most important things to God. And that's why the devil is attacking marriage and family values so much in this country. Not only in this country, but everywhere in the world. But your family values and your family and your way of life is being attacked by the enemy. Why? Because he knows that family is important to God. And family foundation is very important to God. That's why marriage, proper marriage in church, proper covenant before God is important for your children and for the next generation to come. Because living in ignorance, we can destroy one generation. And we must not be people, you and I, must not be people that destroyed the generation after us because of ignorance. And ignorance not only in the big things, but in the smallest little things that you can think of. Things that you go, oh, that's fine, I'll just deal with that one. That's big, we deal with one. Leave the little ones. No, no, no. God says everything that is sin, deal with it. So that you don't transfer that ignorance to the next generation. That's the most important thing. That's my mandate as a pastor of the church. And we will transform mindsets. He will do it through the word that you and I are preaching. Don't preach compromised gospels and messages to people. Deal with sin and correct people because that's what the word of God says. Hallelujah. There's a direct attack against the family. That's why I know that when people come up and say, God, Pastor, I want to get married properly. And I said, God, thank you. Thank you, because you are speaking to these people. I am not even talking to them. I'm just bringing your word to them. And your word is actually cleaning the people up. People are getting convicted by your word. If you're a person that comes in here, sits down, and hardens your heart every time and not opening your heart to the word of God, I encourage you to stop doing that and start to open your heart to God this morning. It's important for you. 2020, you should not be living the same things that you were doing in the last past years that have come. This year should be a different year for us. Amen. Hallelujah. God is looking for people of obedience. And when the Lord showed me this scripture in Isaiah 66, which really caused a turning point in my life and as a pastor of this church, it challenged me to shift gears in my own life, but also in the church. And in the leaders and the leadership that I'm overseeing. And it challenged me. And it actually challenged us and caused us to all look into our own lives and deal with sin. Church is supposed to be a birthplace of souls. It is not a place of entertainment. I am not here to please you and entertain you and preach a wonderful message that, oh, that I feel. I'm not here to preach feel-good messages. That's not my mandate in God. My mandate in God is to be like John the Baptist. Oh, hallelujah. And God needs John the Baptist of this generation. He's coming back for his church, which is supposed to be blameless, without spot and blemish. And you and I must go before him as John the Baptist to preach the true gospel of Jesus Christ, dealing with sin inside the church. I am kind of had enough of preaching to the converted sometimes. I want to go out and preach to those that have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ before. And what we did in Brisbane was amazing because that marriage that we did was a wedding of musicians. And when I was standing there, God says, you are still called to be in that place. And I know that when I walked in to do this wedding, it was all my friends who were in the music industry were there. And they've found it really hard to address me as Ben anymore because the husband and the wife kept referring to me as Pastor Ben. And they're saying, all right, so we must all now be you sense that there is a different, respect. Somebody asked me, "What is your position now? What do you feel God has taken you through? What is the change that is in your heart?" I said, "Well, I'm still the same man that you've known for the last 24 years or 25 years, but I'm in a place where you don't know that I am now. Because the place that I am in is not a place that I can ever come back down to, the place that I was there before. That's the change," I said. "And I know that when I go into places now, people always ask for prayer. This is even in the music industry. Can you pray before we start? This is a band playing in the club. Can you pray before we start?" This is the kind of calling that you and I must not be afraid of. People will respect you because you speak the truth. I talked about character in the leadership meeting on Wednesday. People will follow you. People will be loyal to you when you have character and values that you believe in and that you stand on. And so we preach messages that will transform the mindsets of the people and the hearts of the people. It challenged me to shift gear this year and to at the end of 2019, leading up into the 2020. Isaiah chapter 6, chapter 66, or verse, sorry, Isaiah 66, verse 1 to 2 says, "This is what the Lord says, heaven and earth, heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. Where is the house you will build for me? Where will my resting place be?" God is not talking about a building. God is talking about you and I. You are a temple of the Holy Spirit. You carry His presence. He is asking a question that is a direct question to me as a pastor of the church, and it was a direct question to every one of you inside this church. Where is the house that you said you built for me? Where is it? Where can I come and dwell inside of you? And that's a good question. And then it says in verse 2, "Has not my hand made all these things? And so they came into being," declares the Lord. "These are the ones," he says, and this is the scripture here. The key point here, he says, "These are the ones I look for on with favor." Hallelujah. This is God speaking to you. "Those who are humble and contrite in spirit and who tremble at my word." People who have a contrite spirit and who fear God. Fear His word. Fear in terms of fearing it in a sense of respect to His word. Applying it to our lives and moving in the place where He wants you to be. That's the kind of people that God is looking for. That's the kind of people that when we become like that, then the church starts to take a different direction. I am tired and sick and tired of being in the desert for 40 years. I don't never want to be circling around in the desert for 40 years. I want to see God move. And we've started up a culture of prayer in this church. And it's very important for us that prayer must be the culture of this church. Prayer must be part and parcel of moving this church forward. Hallelujah. Not only just the corporate prayer, but your personal life and your personal prayer with God. Very important for us. "These are the ones I look for," or "I look on with favor," he says. When you're a person that walks with a contrite spirit and walks blameless before God, God says, "I look to you with favor." Hallelujah. I wish I would sit down and talk to people that come and say, "Why did God do that? Or why did God allow that?" God did nothing, my friends. You brought it upon yourself. When you read the Bible, God never says, "God cursed, cursed, cursed." He says, "You are cursed with what? A curse." God set everything forward. Everything has already been in place. The law of nature, the law of the spirit, everything all in place. And He says, "Now, choose blessing. Choose holiness. Choose righteousness." Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And when we mess up, we go, "Why did God?" God did nothing, my friends. Why did God allow the fire? God did nothing. Why are we getting those bushfires? God did absolutely nothing, my friends. We brought it onto ourselves when we kicked Him out of our schools, when we stopped bringing Him into our families, when we come against is foundation, which is family and marriage. When we start doing that, that's when you start to get things like a bushfire. God did nothing. You and I brought it upon ourselves because we wanted to follow after every tradition and not check it. Hallelujah. When I looked at my own journey with God, I have learned a lot in the period of 2 years as the senior pastor of this church. I thank God for all of you who have stood by us, and me and my wife Judith and all you leaders. I thank God for you. Thank you for standing with us. Because this is not a one-man job. This is a job for everyone who has been what? Chosen, not called. Bible says many are called, but few are chosen. God is looking for chosen ones. Amen. Ones that are preparing to say, God, I am the one. I am the chosen one. I want to come in. I want to do the work. We have no time left in this earth today, my friends. The prophecies are starting to fulfill itself. And you look at the wars and the rumors of wars that are happening, that was already predicted in the Bible. It's happening. We are a privileged generation living in a time like this. I would not be surprised if you and I see Christ coming back. Oh. Hallelujah. Oh. And we must be people that are prepared like that. Have oil in your lamp every day. Hallelujah. I thank God for our elders who have continued to stand with us, praying for us, and for continuously speaking into my life. I thank certain people. I love my brother Colin. You know what he does? He comes up here and says, Pastor, thank you. Because he keeps me in line by what I'm preaching on this pulpit. I thank God for Mama Alice and Mama Julie and Carl and Pam and Carl and Earl, and Pam and Alfred. And these are the elders, Roger. These are the elders in this church that comes up to me and go, keep going. We are with you. Keep going. I respect the generation, our forefathers that go before us, because they received the gospel before me. I'm a young man, 53 years old. I'm not even there yet. Hallelujah. I feel young right now, except for the limp. Hallelujah. I think God had to slow me down and put me away for 2 weeks to speak to me. And I thank God for that, because I would have been just continue to run. Hallelujah. Sometimes God, if God wants to make you rest, he'll just allow you to go through some little things. So stop trying to curse the devil and pray against everything in life. Just sit there and feel the pain and go, God, what are you teaching me today? Hallelujah. What are you training me today? It's like Job. When Job was going through that, he had all sorts of people come. Three guys come with all sorts of doctrines. Do this, do that. Shut up. God is taking him through some stuff. God's taking him through some stuff. Just leave him alone. Hallelujah. And I thank God for all of you. All our prayer warriors, Pastor Papi, and all our African families and the French service. It's been amazing. In 2 years, when I spoke to Pastor Bill, he got a shock. He said, you have what? I said, well, we have an African service on Saturday. He says, really? I said, you won't recognize the people in this church anymore. Why? Because the word's transforming you, my friends. The word's doing something in you. This 2020 year is a new year for us. We must take stock of our lives and ask ourselves serious questions today, my friends. Everyone, what things are we doing that need change? There should be change in our lives. What things are we doing that we need change, that needs to change in our lives? One very important concept that we must always understand is that nothing we do can change God. Remember this, nothing you do can change him. Why? His word says that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change for you, you change for him. Hallelujah. Your worship doesn't change God. It changes you and transforms you. Your service to God doesn't change God. It transforms you and changes you. Hallelujah. Your fasting doesn't change God. It changes you and transforms you. Hallelujah. It's for your own sake that you need to pray and fast. not for his sake. Hallelujah. If you want change, then apply those things in your life to see change. Your prayer doesn't change God. God doesn't change because of your prayer. It changes you. Everything that you do changes you. The more we bring ourselves to walk in obedience, we will start to see the manifestation of his power. I can guarantee you that. Amen. When you want to see God move in your life, then move yourself into the place of obedience. Amen. Hallelujah. We are living in a world that is constantly changing, and we are at the mercy of his change. But you must remember this. The power to change is in everything that God has created. God created everything that can create change. But the greatest creatures that can make change is you and I. Why? Because you and I have the willpower of God. God, in order for him to create you and I in his own image, have to give you all his values and his characters and all his qualities. And one of his greatest qualities is willpower, which you use to go against his word. Hallelujah. The very same willpower that an atheist uses and say, there is no God. Same power. Very same power that you use to live your life in sin and say, I'm fine. It's my life. It is not your life. Life is not for you to mess around with it and experiment with it. You are not an experiment. You were born with a purpose, and God needs your purpose for you. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. We have the power to change things around us. We have the power to change our future. We can plan and change our future. We have that power. That's why God said, don't live in the past, because you don't have the power to change that. That's gone. But you have the power to change the future. Amen. Everything that's ahead of you, you can change that. Why? By making the decisions right now, they will change that future. Amen. Important for us. In order for God to make us like himself, created in his image, he had to give us the same quality he has. And one of them is the willpower that I'm talking about. We can use the same willpower to go against all his purpose for our lives. Why a man created by God can just stand and say, there is no God. And God is saying, who created you for you to stand and tell me that I don't exist? I thank God for scientists, but they're just people that are discovering what that's already there. Don't believe in scientists. Believe in the Word of God. Hallelujah. He created the scientists and created everything that the scientist is trying to discover. Yes, amen. Scientists work on facts. God works on truth, my friends. Amen. Facts don't change you. The truth changes you. Amen. When you bring yourself into a place of truth, it changes you. We come and sit down and want to live our lives by facts. Living right now, you're breathing and sitting there, that's a fact. You're alive. Amen. It is a fact. But it's not the truth about you. God knows the truth about you. Hallelujah. The power of will has been placed in our hands to decide the future of the world or even of the church. You know, remember those meetings that they used to have, the G12 meetings and the G7 meetings and all these amazing meetings that these are this group of people that are locked themselves up inside a room and debate and discuss about you and I. About our lives, about how we should be living, how we should be we existing and living our lives. It's a closed room for nobody. And the result is that we become what? Victims of the people that makes those decisions. We now live according to their will for you. But let me tell you something. That is what Jesus said these words when the disciples asked him how to pray. And it's found in Luke chapter 11, verse 1 to 13. Powerful scripture. Now it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. Hallelujah. I love that. Lord, teach us to pray. This man lived with him, ministered with him. Saw miracles, signs, and wonders. Saw him walking on the water. Saw all his amazing power that he was using. Never asked for him to teach them one of them. Peter didn't come up and say, Lord, teach me how to walk on water so I can just become really famous. They said, teach us to pray. Amen. Hallelujah. As John also taught his disciples. Verse 2 says, so he said to them, when you pray, hallelujah, he says, pray like this, our Father, who is in where? Heaven. Not inside a G12 meeting, or inside a G7 meeting, or inside a parliament house, or inside anywhere else. He said, our Father, who art in heaven, hallelujah. He is not in any of these meetings, my friends. That's why you and I are stuck with their will. Our Lord be your name, or only is your name. That is referring to God's character. And here's what he says to pray for. He says, your kingdom come, says the Lord. Hallelujah. That's everything that's in heaven, God. We want it here on earth. Whatever that is in heaven, the picture of heaven, we want it here on earth. Let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Hallelujah. That's how you pray. The next statement is powerful. He says, and your will be done. Everybody say, your will be done. Your will be done. Say it loud. Hallelujah. Say it with some passion. Your will be done. Why? Because we have too many of our own wills. And we pray too much of our own wills. God says, I don't want your will. Why? Your will is contaminated in the garden. I want my will to be prayed upon, prayed for. Nothing can change the world except the will of God. And when you pray according to his will, he says, pray that my will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Hallelujah. He doesn't want you to pray your will. He pray his will because ours have been contaminated. Ours is not right. We make all sorts of decisions and mess up people and mess up families and even mess up our own friends. Mess up church. Pray for the will of God to happen inside the church. That's really what it is. God placed the future of the world in our hands and never wanted the world to be out of his will. He never wanted even the church to be out of his will. He placed the will or the power of the church inside your hands. But he doesn't want it to be out of his will. Pray his will, my friends. When you're praying, go back to the word of God. Go back to that scripture and say, God, I'm going to pray according to that scripture. If you're looking for prayer and wanting to know how to pray, pray that prayer. Go back to that prayer and say, God, this is how I'm going to pray. Because everything that you pray is exactly what he taught us to pray. He said, don't pray your own little ideas and opinions and things like that. Pray my will. Pray like I taught you. Hallelujah. We must check and make sure that we are fulfilling his will on this earth. And more importantly, in this city where we are called to be. What are we called to be here? We are called to be agents of change around this place. When you start to bring prayer, when you start to walk in righteousness and holiness before him, I cannot begin to stretch that when we do that, you will start to see some things happen that you've never experienced before. You know, during our trip to Brisbane, I witnessed something that is fast becoming a common problem in families. There are certain families and certain remnant of people that are not going to church, and I'm talking about people that have left this place and have gone down. And there are more that I've visited. They don't go to church. And so I thought, God, if there's something that we can do in this place. And I already knew that when I was going down there, I'm going to go and pray upon these two families, anoint them with oil, and release them into the ministry. Release the anointing of God upon them to be able to function as leaders in this small fellowship. It's small. But we're going to be running the same integrity leadership ministry, the sessions that we're doing. They'll be sitting on that. And after 13 weeks, we will go down and install the church and establish the church. Hallelujah. They are telling me their problems. They're saying, we don't go there now because when we went there, that's the same. It's the same over there. It's the same there. They're saying, that's the same. And that's why I'm saying it's all franchised now. Somebody franchised the church so that it can fit you into it. That church is not supposed to be franchised. Too many man-made, created programs. Hallelujah. And they're tired of that. These are people that are ready to fire for God. But I had to go and do something that I never thought I would have done. And so we, Judith and I, prayed for them, encouraged them, read them the vision of Living Light Church. Because most of those guys have so much influence in the community. And two of them alone are so influential in the music industry. And I thought, God, if we're going to touch these people in the music industry, then these two people are the ones that are going to be leading the way. Hallelujah. So Papa Joe and I and other leaders will be going down, visiting the church and starting to build the church up slowly. You watch. I don't know how to run a church, but I know this one thing, I tell you. If you bring the church into the place where God wants it to be, if you start to operate in the things that He wants for the church, then you start to see the church grow. People, there are remnant of people that are wanting change, that are tired of just coming in and sitting down and being entertained by preachers and pastors and music teams. No, this is not time for it. It's time to shift to the new gear in 2020 and deal with things that are supposed to be dealt with. Hallelujah. Call it as it is. The will of God is not important anymore in those churches. You know, I spoke to an amazing man who's actually Steve Grace's brother-in-law. And he told me the same problem. He said, I'm struggling, Pastor. He said, I'm still going to the church, but I'm struggling. And I said, it's okay. Go in there. It's like steering the Titanic. It'll turn in time. But it takes the mindset change of people. Hallelujah. What are we feeding into the mindset of our people? Let me just remind us again that God is not interested in good. He is interested in what is right and what is true. I want to know these things so that we can not fall into that same category as everybody else. Look, I don't know what, I've never been to any other church. I've never been there. Ever since I walked out of a church 14 years ago, or now it's nearly 17, no, 18, 20 years now, I have not walked into another church. So I don't know what's happening. All I know is that we must get ourselves to a place that God wants us to be. I'll tell you, it is being standing right standing in God is one of the greatest will of God. Amen. When we become people that are right standing with God, that is one of His greatest will for you and I. Hallelujah. When respecting and honoring Him and abiding in His word, His principles, continually consecrating ourselves before Him and abiding in Him. Why? Because the pull of the world is so strong. It's like a magnet that drags you back into that place. But we must always walk in that place where we may never be dragged into that place ever again. Hallelujah. It is a word of caution for us as a pastor of this church. 2020, when I was studying the book of Joshua, in chapter 7, God showed me something that really clearly spoke to me and challenged me. God showed me something really clearly in the story of Joshua and the city of Ai. I took it seriously because I put myself in that position. Because when I took the church, God said, study Joshua, study Moses. And I studied those two men and the transition between the two men. And I put myself in the picture of the story of Joshua. I said, God, if it's the story, then I will look at what you're telling me. Because I want God to continually to fight for me. I want Him to fight the battles for me. I want Him to fight the battles for the church. I want Him to be the one fighting your battles, not you fighting it. And if we want God to continue to fight for us, then we have to deal with sin seriously. It is not just like pastoring a church anymore. It's about building His kingdom and changing the mindset of people. It's a tough job. I don't want to be just a pastor of a church. Amen. I want to be somebody that God can use to speak into your life. Amen. And speak it straight. And change mindsets.
Yes, amen.
When God led the people out of Egypt, He never led them straight to Egypt. Straight to Israel, or the promised land. There are some things that they need to get out of first because the mindset hasn't been changed. And before they can get into the promised land, mindsets have to change. If you want to enter into your promised land, whatever God has promised you, then your mindset and your attitude must change.
Amen.
Why? It has to change to prepare for what God has promised you. God cannot give you something that you are not ready for. Yes. Hallelujah. And it is not, for me, it's not just pastoring the church anymore. When Joshua lost the battle of the city of Ai because there was sin in the camp, God said to Joshua in Joshua chapter 7, verse 12, powerful scripture. He says, therefore, the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies because they have become doomed to destruction. That scripture shocked me to the core. I said, God, are you saying something? And then he says, neither will I be with you anymore unless you destroy the accursed from among you. That was a message that I got at the end of 2019 leading up to 2020. And I said, God, I'm going to preach it and deal with sin. Whatever that is inside of you has to come out. Why? I want to see the manifestation of the power of God inside the church. And it does not happen if we walk in sin every day. This does not apply to the church only. It applies to you and your families. Take God seriously. It is not good, not just a good Bible story anymore, my friends. It is life. Amen. It's about life. Amen. Neither will I be with you anymore unless you destroy the accursed things among you. Hallelujah. God's principles and word does not change for us. And I keep saying that in our leadership meeting. I said, God's principles do not change. We must always respect the principles. The principles of God is like a lighthouse that doesn't move for no ship. Every marine captain, every person that is involved in shipping, and Papa Joe, you know that the lighthouse is the most important thing to a person on a boat. And God's word is like that. And there's a story about the American naval fleet that was doing this training exercise with the Russian military, naval fleet. And there was a time where the fog covered the whole sea and nobody could see anything except when the captain of the ship saw a light flickering inside this thick fog, sends a message to that light saying, move 3 degrees to the right, otherwise we will collide. And the light sends a message back and says, you move three degrees to the right. And the captain got really angry and says, listen to me. Do you know who I am? I am the captain of the naval fleet of the USA. Under the direct orders of the President of the United States, move 3 degrees to the right or we will collide. That's an order. The light flickers back and says, you move 3 degrees to the right. I am a lighthouse. I don't move for nobody. That is word of God to you, my friends, today. That's a principle that you stand on. It doesn't move for you. You move 3 degrees to the right. Hallelujah. Principles of the word of God is like a lighthouse. It does not move for you. Does not respect you. You must respect it all the time. There's a scripture in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 28, says, do not remove the ancient landmark which your fathers have set. You know why I honor the forefathers? You know why I honor people like the elders that are in the church that speak to my life? You know why? Because God used them to set a stone or a memorial or a landmark that you should not remove it. We should not meddle around with it. It's there for a purpose. I thank God for those people that have gone before me. Thank God for the fathers. My father taught me the principles of God through the life he led. And my grandfather introduced Christ to the family. These are the forefathers that have gone before me that have set a landmark. And your life should be following that landmark. If there is somebody that has gone before you that has set a landmark for you, then follow that landmark. Hallelujah. It is important for us to understand that whatever they have installed in our lives in God is just like that ancient landmark in Proverbs. It is there for us to follow and not to remove. I do not want to be wandering in the desert for another 40 years, my friends. I want to see some changes happening inside as we move forward in God. And it takes everybody, every one of us, to move ourselves to the place that God can actually use you. God can actually work with you. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16. And it is in the NIV translation there. Verse 16 says, "This is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for an ancient path. Ask where the good way is and walk in it. And you will find rest for your souls." Hallelujah. This is God speaking. "But you said, we will not walk in it." Look at this verse again. It says, "Stand at the crossroads." Many of us now standing at the crossroads this year. 2020 is a crossroad for us. And make it a crossroad. And then it says, and then look for that landmark. Hallelujah. 2020 must be a crossroad. And the world, in the church even, is at the crossroads. It has created confused generations. We are dealing with moral issues and all these other issues that are being thrown in our face and that we have to succumb to it. No, you become a lighthouse in that place. You become a landmark in that place. You can't remove an ancient landmark. The law of nature and the law of the spirit doesn't respect you. No matter how much we try to change it, it doesn't change. Hallelujah. My friend, if you're at the crossroads this morning, this is the word from God for you. Stand at the crossroads and look and ask what? For the ancient paths. Where is it? Where is that path that our forefathers have set for us? Where is it? Look for that. And then he says, and ask where the good way is. And then he says, and walk in it. Walk in that ancient path. Be a person that will say, I want to follow that ancient path. That's the path I'm going to follow now. Be a person of change. Make the stand today before God and say, God, show me where the good way is. God says, ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find what? Rest for your souls. Hallelujah. This is the word of God for us this morning. Find the ancient path, walk in it. Hallelujah. When you're at the crossroads and God says what? Ask. Ask God, God. Talk to God in prayer. Ask Him. Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. Paul says what? "See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on what? Human tradition." Everybody say human traditions. Human tradition. No, I want you to yell it inside your heart and say, human traditions. That destroys you, my friends. Human traditions will destroy church, will destroy your family, will destroy everything that God has purposed for you. Last message I preached on at the end of the year said, check the traditions. Just because somebody brings it to you, you think it's okay. No, check it. Where did it come from? What's the story behind it? Does it bring truth? Separate the truth from all the myths and all the fairy tales. Hallelujah. And move with truth. Amen. See to it, he says. He doesn't say, oh, just be casual. But he says, see to it. Make sure that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophies. World is full of people with philosophies. I don't trust no professor, no teacher. No, I don't trust them. Why? They don't know me as my God do. Amen. And that should be the same as you. Don't listen to people that give you all sorts of great philosophies. No, check the word of God and check the truth. Paul says, see to it. And the elemental spiritual forces, it says, of this world rather than on Christ. If nothing is as Christ-centered and based on, then walk away from it. And find the ancient path and ask God for it. And say, God, I want to walk in that place. That's where the ancient stone is. That's where the memorial is. That's where our forefathers set it up for us. Come back to that place, my friends. Stop listening to philosophies and get into the scripture. It will protect you from being lured away from the truth. Paul says, see to it, everybody. Tell your neighbor, see to it. Hey, see to it. Touch him. Shake him. Shake him and say, see to it. Hallelujah. You know, deceptive means it sounds really good, it's based on traditions and human principles, but the world invented it. The world invented all these nice traditions and all these nice philosophies for you to get lured into it and believe it. You sit down and you listen to people like that, you go, oh, wake up, let me see what the Word of God says. Don't flow into everything that people tell you. Check the Word of God. That is why I talk a lot about principles. You know what the principles means? First law. When you say the word principle, it means what? First law. That's why when a prince is born to a king, he's the first prince. The first person. Don't you ever exchange law for grace, my friends. Don't you ever exchange law for grace. Jesus made that statement clearly to us in Matthew chapter 5, verse 17 to 20, and I'll close with that. He says, do not think that I have come to destroy the law or the prophets who spoke about it. Hallelujah. I did not come to destroy, but to what? Fulfill it. Amen. Friends, I'm encouraging you and I'm cautioning you, do not exchange grace for law. Jesus never came to destroy that. Because the principles and the laws of God keeps you in a place like a lighthouse. I did not come to destroy the law or the prophets who spoke of them. I came to what? Fulfill them. I came to bring the spirit of them, the spirit of that word, back into it. I came to what? Reinforced it to you. I came to what? Reestablished it to you. Amen. That's what Jesus is saying. Amen. He did not come to abolish it. So don't you ever walk around saying, oh, our grace, 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 grace. Because it gives you the license to walk in sin every day. And God does not want that for you.
Yeah.
Then he says, for assuredly I say, oh, hallelujah. I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, not one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is what? Fulfilled. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of God, in the kingdom of heaven. But then he says, but whoever does and teaches them, he shall be great in the kingdom of God. You are great. God calls you great when you preach the kingdom of God, when you preach truth to the people, when you preach righteousness, holiness, blameless before God. God calls you what? Great. He says, you are great in the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
When you teach the laws of God, he calls you great. My friends, hold on to God like never before. John chapter 8, verse 1 to 11 says, when Jesus stood up again and said to the women, where are your accusers? Didn't even one of them condemn you? I was sharing with Brendan about this. And this is the example of grace and law coming together. When Jesus stood up again and said to the woman, where are your accusers? Didn't even one of them condemn you? You remember the women they were trying to stone that committed adultery or that was caught in adultery? Verse 11 says, no, Lord, she said. And then Jesus, what's the word of God? Watch Jesus. He says, neither do I. That's grace, my friends. That's the grace of God. But then he brought a commandment in, which became a decree and a law. He says, go and sin no more. Amen. He covers her with grace, and then he gives them a commandment. He says, don't do that again. Hallelujah. That becomes a law and a decree. When God speaks, when the king speaks, it automatically becomes a law to himself first. That's why he cannot break his own word. You've got to understand God.
Amen.
When you understand God like that, you will never, never go against his word. You will always honor his word. Why? He spoke it and he agreed to it and it became him. Holiness is not being holy, wearing a big cross and a big turban and looking holy. Holiness is being one with your word.
Amen.
When you study the Hebrew meaning of holiness, it just means one. You and your word and your actions and everything that you do are one. That is holiness, my friends. Holiness is integrity. That's it. This church, I pray, must be a church of integrity, holiness, one with the Word of God, one with your actions. If you are ministering and representing this church, watch your mouth. Watch what you say to people. Watch how you act before people. If you call yourself an evangelist, then evangelize with love to the people. Hallelujah. That is a commandment. He is not asking it. He is telling it. Don't sin no more. That's the law. First, he gives her grace. I did not condemn you either. But he says, no, go and sin no more. Amen. And whenever God speaks, it becomes a decree and a command. Hallelujah. Amen. My friends, hold on to God. Matthew chapter 19, verse 21 says, and anyone who has left houses, or brother, or sister, or father, or mothers, or wife, or children, or fields for my sake, will receive what? 100 times as much as what? 100 times much and will inherit eternal life. You have not lost nothing. If your family go against you, when you become a Christian, automatically your first enemies and your first opposition is your own family. It doesn't come from outside, it comes from within. My brother never liked me ever again. I was his closest drinking mate. Drank every bar dry. Hallelujah. When I found Christ, he hated everything that I did. He never lent me his car anymore. Kicked me out of his house. And we got kicked out in every house that we lived in. Jesus said, if you lost that, you have inherited eternal life. Amen. The kingdom of God is yours. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let's all stand, please. Can I have the music team up? This is a time to make some changes in your life.
Hallelujah.
Let's just give the Holy Spirit some time to work. Father, we honor you. We thank you. Father, your word has been released to your people today. Father, as they stand, as they all are before you today, God, I pray, Holy Spirit, for that transformation power, for that mindset change, for the power of conviction, oh God, inside each and every man, women and children today. Thank you, God. Only you can change us. Only you can transform our lives. Only you can create a miracle in our spirit. God, I thank you for each and every man, woman and children standing before you today. Hallelujah. Lift your hands to God this morning. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. Lord, you see the hands of every man, women, and children. We come humbly before you. Father, 2020 is a year of decision. It's a crossroad for us today. It's a place where we will stand and ask where the right path is for us. Those that have gone before us have set a landmark before us, as your word says. And Father, as you speak your word to us today, we thank you that, Father, every place that we walk on, every path that we walk on, whether it's we come to this crossroad this morning, God, I ask you that your people are at the crossroad. Whoever it is that's standing on this crossroad, God, I thank you as they ask the question, which part are we going to follow? Father, you show them. You show them the path. You bring them to a place where they will never, never, never ever be able to be lost or fall wayward because of some philosophy or strange doctrines or things that have been brought into their lives or the things of the world that we call traditions. Lord, I pray today upon your people today. Before you, we declare, God, that we are going to be the people that will be all forever asking for the path of righteousness, the path that we will stand and walk righteous before you. God, you said that when you brought Abraham out and you said, come and walk blameless before me. That's the only thing we need to do is walk blameless before you, and everything else comes into place. Father, I cover your people, Lord, with the blood of Jesus. I pray your anointing upon them today that breaks every yoke in their life, God. Every person standing before you today, I thank you that our lives will never be the same. Father, even if it's just another message that we hear today, but God, you have spoken to us. You have spoken to us, and we have become people that will walk according to your principles and stand strong like that lighthouse, that we will not move 3 degrees to the right for nobody. We will not move 3 degrees to the right for no philosophy or no doctrines that are from the devil or no traditions that are introduced by man. We will never stand 3 degrees to the right. We will stand firm, oh God, upon your word, upon your principles and your precepts, Father. Thank you, God, for truth, that we have heard the truth and the truth has set us free, God. We give you praise and we give you honor. And we give you glory. Father, in no other name but the mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Yeshua HaMashiach, we pray. Hallelujah. And all God's people shout and said, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's praise and worship him before we sit down. Come on, Tim.